Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside. Oh, I love our intro music here. Our introduction said, do not get weary in well doing. Oh, you know, because ministry is taxing. You know, civic service is taxing. But yet, God gives us the strength and the talent and the ability to do what we need to do for the kingdom. And I am coming to you each and every week with guests that are making a difference. You know, the theme of our program is said, help change a life. I love that. I love that. I love that. Because guess what? Someone changed my life. Why? Because they were telling me I was the head and not the tail. They were telling me I was above my situation, not beneath. And we aspire to bring ministries and individuals on each and every week to encourage you to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. This morning, I'd like to introduce to you, he's no stranger to our program, Dr. Michael Fleming. He's an activist, and he's an encourager, and he's a motivational speaker and a public speaker. So at this time, without any further delay, Dr. Michael Fleming is on the line. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Minister Lewis. I'm glad to have the opportunity to be on your show this morning, and always glad to partner with you on things related to educating and empowering individuals, families, and our communities. Okay.
And that is so true. You know, as that music was playing, I get encouragement after music and do not get weary and well doing. You know, because, you know, this ministry, brother, this ministry that God has called us to, man. And, boy, it's a lot involved in it, but He give us what we need to do the task at hand. And I love what you do, brother, because you go out and you make yourself available for the different ministries and programs, and you come back with information that we can use, and not only you, but to be able to apply it. So tell us what's going on with you today.
Well, today, right now, I'm sitting on the parking lot of the church waiting for some tables and things to be delivered in preparation for the pastoral banquet for our senior pastor.
Okay, great. I saw the flyer there, and I look forward to saying hello to him and give him kudos for what he's been doing for a number of years.
Amen, amen. But you know, this past, I guess, 6 to 7 weeks has been filled with a number of meaningful activities representing, you know, various groups from within our business, our local government, our churches, and our nonprofit community, all aimed at trying to address this increasing level of poverty and financial disparity and economic resources and opportunities for many of our communities south of I-30, which are predominantly minority communities, African Americans and Hispanics. And I believe that it portends something real special, because this is the first time that I can recall in the last 35 or 40 years that you'll have all four of the major institutions at the table today. In the past, the three institutions that have been represented have always been the business community, the educational community, and our local municipalities or governments. And the one branch or institution that was always lacking or missing was the faith-based community, and specifically our churches and so forth. But I think the powers that be have come to the realization that nothing has changed or stymied the ever-increasing and encroaching poverty spectrum. And so being wise leaders, they recognize that if nothing changes, nothing changes. And if that is, in fact, insanity, and that now we have to explore all options and try to identify, those organizations, and specifically right now, faith-based organizations who are planted in many of these impoverished communities and have the opportunity, given the time, support, and resources, to become relevant and to make a difference in the lives of individuals, and therefore, hopefully, improving quality of life. So I want to share with you about four of these organizations that I'm working with who are really pleading with our churches and our faith-based communities to step up and partner with them to address the issues that impact our local residents. One is the Mayor's Anti-Poverty Coalition of Greater Dallas, and it is made up of several, large to medium-sized churches in the Dallas area, and several nonprofit organizations. And the whole focus is on providing educational opportunities to increase the knowledge and help people understand what their financial choices or options are that are positive, and to help them understand how certain businesses and parties will prey on that lack of knowledge in order to extract from them their limited financial resources in order to profit. And we're talking about predatory lending. And so there have been several studies done that talk about the number and ever-increasing number of these payday loans and title loans, what we call predatory lenders, where the usury rate or the interest rate on these loans range from a minimum of, as much as 290% all the way up to 600 or more. And it has caught many of our citizens in this ever-grinding cycle where they go in to get help and they enter into this system and process and then quickly discover that they can't get out. And then
it's so true.
Right. So this coalition has been working on identifying and targeting specific geographic areas and local city councils to begin to encourage them and to advocate for the passage of local ordinances. And I will say we've had a great deal of success being spearheaded by, United Way and a couple of organizations. We were able to get Dallas to become one of the first major urban areas in the state to pass local ordinances that set some constraints and some limits on these kinds of predatory lenders. They're still not stiff enough, but they are beginning. And since Dallas, several of our other suburban neighbors have also passed local ordinances and are looking at ordinances. And so we're trying to get our churches to become the lead players in these organizations simply by being willing to open up their doors and to provide a place of education and learning. The material that's needed for these classes and even the individuals that are needed to actually teach these classes can all be provided to our churches at no cost, okay? And we think it's a natural fit because our churches have members who are struggling financially and looking for ways to stretch their dollar and trying to plan for the future. And so why not rediscover what churches used to do in the past to become the haven and the hub for economic development and education for their members and the communities in which they're large. So we just had on this past week a significant meeting out at the Goodwill industry where we discussed some of the local rules and the impacts and federal regs that are being proposed by the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in Washington. And our goal is that we're committed to getting more than 1,000 people from my area to submit comments in support of these rules so that we can get them passed. One of the problems we have all too often is that the powers that we're struggling against, the people who prey off our communities, tend to show up at the meetings and bring a louder voice than the people who are being affected by these predatory lenders. And we have to recognize that if we're not willing to stand up and speak out for our own families, our own children, our own communities, then we may be somewhat deserving of what we have or what we allow. So we're going to be putting out some information. You know, people who are interested can contact me, and I'll give that information prior to fencing up here.
And that's great. I enjoy some of the stuff that you were sharing, because you're talking about predatory lenders, and I have experienced that myself through my family and friends, how they get involved in something like that, and it's difficult to get out of that situation. And that's not just in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that's nationwide. And I'm glad that you're on the forefront of things like that. And, you know, when you continually to make yourself available to be a word of a voice for those that seem to don't have a voice. And I know that you're actually involved in a lot of things. Now, tell us now, if someone would like to be involved in this, so do you have websites of information being posted where someone can kind of tap in on this and actually make use of the information that you're sharing with us?
All right, well, they can always simply call me at this number, 214-900-4179, and I'd be more than happy to share with them the various numbers, phone numbers, as well as the links to the websites where they can, you know, get more information and hopefully sign up and commit themselves to really making a difference for the cause of Christ, in terms of empowering his people and building his kingdom. So, again, they can call me at 214-900-4179, or they can go to their website, into their browser, and simply type in the Anti-Poverty Coalition of Greater Dallas, or the Anti-Poverty Coalition, and they'll see the Facebook page and the website. That's the Anti-Poverty Coalition of Greater Dallas. Hmm.
Hey, man, let's shift gears here for a minute, and then you can comment on what you just said and mentioned. The reentry program of ex-offenders, I know that that's you have a very deep passion for things like that now. We all have been touched by that lifestyle one way or another, with family or loved ones or something, when men or women are coming back into society. You have been on the forefront of getting a petition signed, and it's being implemented at Ban the Box. How's that going, and tell us about that?
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this, and, you know, right now I am just thrilled to no end, because this movement has really taken up, you know, has taken on a life, and the momentum is just overwhelming. The number of people and the different, communities that are represented here. We're talking about people within the criminal justice system, which includes, you know, former and sitting judges at all levels, former correctional officers, United States Attorney General's Office, the Justice Department, at the local level. It just goes on. Even here in the city of Dallas, we got our mayor and the business community recognizing that this is a major issue. And so Dallas has become one of the 23 urban areas in the country, along with 14 states, and the second urban area in Texas, also was the first, that has passed ordinances that basically bans the box, that question on the application about are you a convicted felon. Now, what that simply means is that now individuals get a chance to actually have a face-to-face interview, where in previous situations that may not have occurred. That application with that box checked as a former felon could have resulted in that application being either thrown in the trash or put on the bottom are not really given any serious consideration because of the biases that it incites. And so we think that it's discriminatory, and that oftentimes the offenses by which people were convicted has nothing to do with the job. And on top of that, one of the requirements of being convicted of a felon is the requirement that you have a job, stable housing, and that you become a contributing member of your community, which includes a lot of things, paying child support and so forth. But if you can't get a job, you're in violation of your probation or your parole agreement and so forth, which can lead to a technical violation and send you back. Or it deprives you of access to the institutions and the resources that you need to make a viable life for you and your families, almost forcing you to have to pursue other alternative means, which usually means things that are deemed as illegal. So I'm real excited, and I think most of us who are concerned about this issue, about that Dallas has stepped up, the city of Dallas has stepped up and chosen to be one of the first cities to recognize the impact this has on our families and communities and modify their rules so that no one has to deal with that question about convicted felon until you are being seriously considered and offered the job. At that point, they can do a background search, and information that is obtained can only be used to deny you a job if it is relevant and specifically related to what you're applying for, i.e., you have a criminal record and history of financial misdealings and convictions, and you're applying to be a teller or a financial manager at some financial institution. So in those cases, the background check and how it's used would be relevant because it's showing a direct relationship. That in itself probably means about an increase of 60% the number of people who will get a job interview. Doesn't guarantee a job, but it increases the likelihood of you getting a job interview and being evaluated based on your skills and knowledge and expertise in reference to the job and not based on your criminal conviction, which may have been years ago. So I'm really proud of Dallas for doing that, and hopefully it will set the way. There are several businesses in the area, major corporations who've also taken a stand and modified their hiring procedures and modeled them after this, model policies and best practices that have been put forth by the Justice Department. Okay, so that's a good thing.
And that is. It sounds like that the battle is not won yet. Just, you know, you're still in the trenches there until we get this statewide. Acceptance of that, because that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. That's a second incarceration when you get out and can't get a job. That's you're financially incarcerated then. So thank you for bringing that to the forefront and staying up on that and letting us know that it's a lot of work to be done on that. Now, Mike, as we're getting toward the end of this interview, and we're going to shift gears for a minute. We have a men's conference coming up, and you have been a part of the conference from just about the very beginning, and we want to thank you for your gifts and talents. Now, tell us about your experience with our men's conference and what we can expect to receive this year from your ministry with our conference coming up.
Well, first of all, it's the place to be, and it's something that I have found to be personally rewarding because it allows me the opportunity to be in fellowship with men from two perspectives, those who are compassionate and committed to representing Christ, and I think his specific commands was that we are to visit those who are in prison and homeless and so forth to help build a bridge from nowhere to somewhere. And who better than the men of God standing up and standing in the gap and fighting for those who, for whatever reason, have made some mistakes, but have recognized that and are trying to pull themselves up and start anew. The second group that we work with are the individuals themselves who have sometimes on their own been able to successfully overcome those hurdles and to reintegrate and come to these kind of conferences and to this event each year and share with others to let them know what can be done to provide hope and encouragement to those who are coming out. And it's just so good for me to be in that male, what you call bonding process. I haven't had that much, enjoyment and male camaraderie since I was, playing ball in my ball days. So it's a good thing for those who want to come out and see what's going on and recognize that all the stuff you see on TV and that negative stuff isn't representative of what's really going on. That there are a lot of people, a lot of men who are doing good things, and a lot of men who recognize their mistakes and have picked themselves up and are becoming, positive and role models and, contributing members to their families and to their homes. So it's a big plus. There's good food. It's good food there. But there are various presenters who come with areas of expertise, talking about law, talking about financing, saving, investment, entrepreneurship, how to start jobs, how to start 501c3s, apply for grants, what types of benefits you're eligible to, what your legal options are in terms of getting your rights back, all those things. So it's a very informative place. It is a God-centered place, and it's filled with men who, first and foremost, always want to glorify God and know that we do that by edifying others and esteeming them more than we do ourselves. So come join us on May, the 21st?
May the 21st. At Free Will Baptist Church in the Dockerville area. And you have been on the program. You have hosted a workshop, and this year you're going to be one of our motivational speakers and then share what you have just shared with us, with our group of men. We've reached men all over the Metroplex, black, white, Hispanic, tall, short, just a whole cluster of men that's seeking the face of God and have a relationship. The theme of our program this year is saying that God will work it out. Mike, I believe he will. He's been working out for me all year long, man. And, he brought to my remembrance of in Genesis, the 39th chapter, where Joseph found himself separated from his family. But God worked it out. Joseph found himself pit, in jail, in today's term, in financial difficulty, but God worked it out. And Joseph found favor with even the people that had him incarcerated. Sometimes, brother, we on these jobs that we may be above education-wise. I'm saying we may be qualified for a job. But yet God is working it out and showing us favor on those jobs. I remember some time ago I was unemployed and I was driving a little shuttle bus for the senior citizens. But yet I'd have been in college and I'd have traveled the country working on equipment. But yet I'm helping senior citizens get in and out of a van. And you know what? I did that job faithfully. And guess what? God worked it out now. I work at another facility that I had to have a passcode. I had to have a security clearance to get in and out. And what I say, people value my opinion on certain equipment. Guess what? God worked it out.
Right.
And God is going to respect your person.
Right. Right. And God is doing, what God is doing through you and through your radio ministry and your jail and prison and street ministry, he's also doing with other individuals. And the thing that I'm really excited about is how now a lot of these individuals and organizations that were not known are rising up and forming coalitions so that there can be better collaboration and planning so that we can, share what we're doing, share our resources and our knowledge.
Yes.
And what's surprising to me is that, this past week that so few people knew that there was a major international conference held here in Dallas to address the issue of families of incarcerated persons. Okay? It was held for 2 days here. It was the International Prisoners Family Conference. Okay? And the conference offers for family members the opportunity to meet and share with other families who are experiencing similar concerns and build support systems and so forth. We had international experts coming in from the private and public and secular and so forth, from the criminal justice There were exhibitors showcased. And one of the things I really like is the fact that, anybody who's ever been incarcerated knows that there's a lot of talent. And so during the International Conference, there is a prisoners' fine arts display and silent auctions where some of the artwork that's been done by people behind bars was on display and was being auctioned off. And, man, some of the most fantastic stuff that you could ever imagine. And so there was advocacy participation, social networking. You know, there was the group representing the International Network for Children with Incarcerated Persons. And so, you know, it was just a wonderful time. And I'm thinking, don't very many people know about this organization and the fact that they're holding an international conference in Dallas, Texas, about one of the most pressing issues in the nation, if not the world, because we lead the nation, and therefore the world takes our lead. So that conference was here this week. And then there's something else coming up that I want to mention starting this weekend, and the 14th and the 17th, and that's DFW 2020. And again, this is an organization that partners with Faith in Texas. And they're going to be at one of our local churches in North Dallas, and they're going to be addressing the issue about how we hold our decision makers accountable. That includes corporate leaders and whatever their responsibility should be to the community and so forth. And so that's going to be on the 7th, which is today, on the 14th, and then the major event is going to be Tuesday, May 17th. And it's going to be held at, I thought I took the name of the church. I believe it's
I tell you what, you make sure you get us
Christ,
information
Christ,
on that.
It's Christ Foundry. Christ Foundry, which is spelled Foundry, United Methodist Mission. And that's on at 9891 Webb Chapel Road. But we would love, and many of the churches that make up Faith in Texas and are part of this event are actually bringing out their congregation as many as possible to show public support and to let our officials and our business leaders know that we recognize what's going on. We're serious about making a difference and having a voice for those who have no voice. So, again, if you're interested in those kind of events, if you're interested in United Church, United Churches, which is an organization that's trying to galvanize the almost 3,000 churches in the greater metropolitan area, where that we can increase the numbers beyond less than 200 churches, really playing a significant role in our community. We want to set up organizations as regional champions, individuals as regional champions, to represent geographical areas, to identify those faith-based organizations interested, find out what they need in the way of human capital and physical resources, and then try to get those to them and provide them with the leadership and support. And so that's part of this strategic plan that we've been working on for the last month, and that will be modified as we get more public involvement and more public input for the next 3 to 5 years. So I'm really excited about the fact that everything is galvanizing, and for the first time, it seems like we here in Dallas and in Texas are not behind the scene, but are actually in the middle of a movement that is going to revolutionize America.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Mike, this portion of our show about to come to an end. I have my co-host on the line right now. He might want to say something to you. We're going to bring him in here. This is Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning, Dick Lewis. How are you doing today?
Hey, we have Dr. Flemings on the line here. He's about to end this portion of the interview. Would you like to say something to him or just make comments on anything you may have heard regarding his portion of the show?
Well, I look forward for next week. On the 23rd, I look forward to hearing the conference. Well, I have a problem missing a couple of two conferences we've been having over at the church over there. So I look forward to having that experience of just basically letting speakers talk to a group of men and basically have a call and response action, and you know, you get them to talk and just basically to give their opinion on things. You know, so everybody should have a vehicle to to talk at and, I mean, express their opinions on issues.
You know? Oh, that is so true. Hey, thank you very much. Hey, are we going to end this interview here with Dr. Fleming because he's on the road there. But Dr. Fleming, we thank you very much for being available this morning on our internet program. You know, we never know the direction God is going to lead us in this here. But I thank God for finding favor with us, with you. Because you're so busy, man, it blows me away. You know, I always say that God is my program director. And sometimes I don't never know which direction he'll go, lead me in, but I'm willing to follow. And I know that you follow Christ and I follow Christ also. And I thank God for what you're doing. And you know what? I want you to know that what you're doing is going to make a difference. I want you to know that what you're doing is help-changing life. I want you to know what James 5:20 said, to let them know the errors of their ways, save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. You know what? Because you let people know there's a better way. That's changing the soul from death, financial death, spiritual death, you know, family death. You know, those things cover a multitude of sins. So thank you, my brother, for doing what you do.
Yeah.
Minister Fleming had dropped off the line here. So, Brother Daniel.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. But Brother Fleming, he was on the road, so he dropped out. He made it in a bad location there. But I want to thank him for what he's doing. Brother, I'm always encouraged by men like this, man. I'm on fire. I'm on fire for the Lord. We have another guest that's coming up here. He's not available at this moment here, so we're going to go on with the show at hand. Brother Daniel, we got a men's conference coming up here on the 21st of May. And you have been to some of our men's settings at once before, and they were breakfast, but they got so large, brother, that we had to shift. And it's always good to shift, man, in God's timing. Not my timing, but God's timing. And, you know, when we have men's come out, brother, that's quite a large group of men to come out on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty hard to get people up on early on Saturday morning. You know,
I know.
And the test of our program, it's pretty hard to get people up. And basically, you interview them, and you kind of pick their brains for opinions and questions, and it's pretty hard. You know, but God makes do with what we do.
Yes, he does. And guess what? And God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Now, Brother Dan, you have been a part of our men's setting here. Now, what have you have experienced in the past, and what do you look forward to at this year? Well, we have a Dr. Fleming is back on the line here. And before you answer that, I'm going to give him a closing remark. Say amen. Dr. Fleming.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling back. I know that you're on the road here. I'm going to give you a few words to close out on us. And we're looking forward to seeing you on the 21st.
Okay. Here's my one plea. For instance, we have a conference coming up also in July 23rd. Which is the No More Violence Youth Convention. And we're really trying to focus on the next generation to help prevent them from falling into this systemic trap. Okay? And so I'm encouraging people of God to really search your hearts and pray. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern what we're doing and how important your involvement and your contribution of time and resources are to us. And so I'm encouraging you, please call me at this number, 214-900-4179. God has enabled me to be a representative for the faith-based community. And I can share with you the wealth of information about what's going on, key contacts, possible resources, grants. But if you want to get involved and take Christ to the street and really touch lives, and then transform communities because you're transforming people through the power of the Spirit of God, then give me a call, 214-900-4179, and I guarantee you that I and Joel can match you up with an organization and with individuals who would love to know about the power and the peace that you have through Jesus Christ and how he has made a difference in your life. And that he's an unrespectful person, and he wants to do the same thing for others who are in need. So give us a call.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you, thank you. And I will put I'll put that on my appointment and schedule in there for July 21st. You say
23rd is for the No More Violence Youth Convention. And right now we're trying to raise school supplies for the first 200 parents who register to attend and bring their children, because we want to also support education and let our kids know that we care about them and that we want to provide for them the things that will help them to maximize those opportunities. So if you want to make a donation by backpacks and pencils, pens, and so forth, give me a call or go to my Facebook page, Black Men Down, Missing in Action, or Michael Clemens, and you'll see the flyers and what you need to do if you want to be involved. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Well, thank you, thank you. And you know what? I know I have a heart and a passion for that. Also, I work with several juvenile centers here in Dallas, and so we know that No More Violence, it starts at the ground root. It starts with our young men. And so thank you and what you're doing in that in the lives of our young people. So be blessed. Talk with you later, okay?
Thank you. Amen.
God bless you. That was Dr. Michael Flemings that was sharing with us upcoming events that he's a part of, and we ask you to follow him on his posting, Black Man Down, Missing in Action, and also he gave out a contact number. Please follow up on that contact number and be a part of No More Violence Movement and that ministry and that program. Brother Daniel.
You doing, Revolution, all right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Sorry about that. I want to get all I can.
Dramatic words.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Fleming has so much to offer, man, and I love him. I love it. You know, he's still on the line listening right now, so we expect another guest to call in a few minutes. But until then, Brother Daniel, you know, you've been a part of what we're doing here every year. Now, what has been your experience, and what are you expecting to receive out of it this year, 2016?
Well, basically, I see it as a device to unify men, and because basically you don't have nowhere for a bunch of men to get together and basically to be instructed and taught different, you know, ideas and views and all this. And then again for them to respond without arguing and fussing and disagreeing with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And most of educational and college settings, a lot of discussions are mostly mono-based. You know, it's just one person that's giving his specific idea, and then you don't have any kind of way to intervene or to react to this comment that this speaker is giving. So basically through these settings that you got a way for people to vent and show their opinions and emotions and business and really their personal experience to things. You know what I'm saying? Because the only way you can really teach people or instruct a person basically has to live through something. You have to experience life and experience in order for you to be a learning process. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that is so true. That is so, and as we bring men from all over the Metroplex, and we're constantly learning from them, and they learn from us. You know, in our setting, though, God has touched us to be able to have a conference, a man's conference, and it's just a basic conference to bring to our remembrance the thing that we already know. This year we got a young man that's named Brother Prater, and he's a speaker, he's an author, and he wrote a book on A Few Good Men. I read that article, man, and I was blown away by that. And not only him, but other gifting that God people have, but he was speaking of a stepfather. We was talking about stepfathers and how men are being challenged from a very youth. Kids that have been impacted by the breakup of a family when they 6 years old, now they 36, 46, 56, and they still living with that heartache. Men that were a relationship problem, and they were impacted from time they were 16 in high school, and here they are 36, 46, and they still dealing with that relationship problem from when they were in elementary school. And we have men that have been there and done that and willing to share with us, brother, you're not alone. You know what I'm saying? And then we have men that come in talking about financial, you know, get your financial house in order. And that's powerful, that Rick, because we've been saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Our finances is a wreck. The church has beaten us up about, you know, not being a, but they are compelling us to pay our tithe when we barely are able to pay our bills. And brothers need to know, hey, it's okay that God's going to work it out.
Amen.
And then we have, you know, and so those are the kind of things that we bring to the forefront. Those are things that touch my heart, brother. And if it made a difference in my life, it make a difference in someone else. You know, we have men to come out from various centers, from Victory Outreach, which is a drug recovery program, from Reconciliation, which is a drug treatment program, and also a training facility to get men educated. Dallas Life Foundation is a path to wholeness center. And then we have our various churches to come out, brother. And so we intend to have a great time. Then we have one of our speakers is Stephon Johnson, a former NBA basketball player, and he coached a college basketball team. I have it on the fly here. But they won a national championship. See, these are men, brothers, that have made mistakes. These are men that took God for granted, but yet they still were able. I'm saying take God for granted because they were doing things that were right in their own eyes. But once they came to the full knowledge, man, and God is no respecter person. That's what I like about it, brother. That's what I get out of it.
Amen. And you know, like, basically, you say Stephon Johnson is an athlete. And I was looking at today how I was listening to the one of these talk shows where they were talking about how most of these draft choices and athletes basically, when they get this money, they basically have to be trained and taught how to use it and don't squander it. That's going to come back with how you're telling them how to finance your money.
Yeah.
Nobody teaching these young men how to spend their money.
And that's what Dr. Flemings had mentioned on it, being financially, financially responsible. And that's what Dr. Fleming would talk about. Those are the kind of things we want to bring to our men, because sometimes we feel like that we missed our turn, brother. Sometimes we feel like God mad at us. Sometimes we feel like that we are never going to get out of this situation. But yet, there's other men that's just like we are, Ricky, that's been there, done that. And they say, hey, you can get out of this.
They were talking about how a lot of these athletes go out and they go out and buy big cars and big diamond rings and big necklaces and basically you don't even really know whether you're going to make this football team or not.
Yeah.
When they don't make it, they be sitting right there back in the same neighborhood that they came from, sitting up on the tree talking to their kid homeboy. Man, I used to play with the Cleveland Browns, man. Now you're back at home, and basically you wasn't instructed and told them how to utilize a gift that God gave you. He made it. He made you able to have the strength to get up every morning to be hidden and get hit and run and jump. It wasn't you. It was God. And so, you know, when you had one guy, you say Mike Tyson went out and bought him a tiger, and some people go out and buy fish bowls and tigers and sharks and monkeys. You know, I think Dez Bryant went out and bought him a monkey. You know?
Hey, you know, Ricky, I'll tell you what's better than that, though, man. It's just like if people come across a large sum of money, whether it's in retirement, an accident, or just the lotto, and people that they don't know how to manage money, even at the professional level, even in the grassroots, which is just the common people, we don't manage money. Hey, I just came into a windfall. I'm going to go buy this expensive car. I'm going to go buy all these clothes. I'm going to buy things that's going to depreciate as soon as I take ownership of it. And so men's like at our conference talk to us about those. Yes, you made a mistake, but you could overcome that. Yes, you don't have to make these same mistakes. Invest your money. Invest your time. Invest your talents in other people. Man, that's success there.
You got people already set up in these high places to also to make sure that you fail. You know, whether you agree to it or not, these people are put in these positions to basically to help you fail. Because, number one, they don't want to see us succeed, Reverend Lewis. I know you might not really believe it, but there's an agenda that's going out that I used to call it like it's a move to bring down the black man. You know what I'm saying? To bring down a successful black man, no matter who you are, you had your time, now it's time for you to be brought down. You know, and basically you can see it. I can call out some names. I don't really want to do it, but you have seen in the limelight in the last 3 or 4 years, you have seen some successful athletes and actors and politicians and all of them. They go down. But why? Why do they fail like this? Well, what is going on? You know, are they not doing what they were paid to do? Somebody gave them a time limit to do what they was doing, and they didn't do what they was told to do. And so basically, whatever they achieved got stripped from them. You know, that's the way I see it, you know. And, you know, you can call it what it is. You know, some of us call it another secret society or whatever, you know, was going on. But basically what I seen, it was a move to bring down the black man in America. So, you know what I'm saying? Well, what happened when we got a black president, basically, I could say that we gave y'all what y'all always wanted. You know what I'm saying?
I'm listening to you. Keep talking there, brother.
We gave y'all what y'all always wanted. You always wanted this black man, upper crust, high-level person, to make laws and break laws and basically to rule over us. But now, you know, you have to give back to us. You know, somebody has to give back. You know, you have got so high, but now you have to give back. So what we going to do, we're going to basically have a movement to break down all your idols. You know, I can call them idols. All your people that you had always looked up to and had a high esteem for, because, number one, we don't want to see y'all get any higher.
You know what I'm saying? You know, brother, and that's so true. You know, a lot of times we had to take responsibility ourselves. And we also had to let other people be aware of what's going on. You're saying some good stuff there. But, you know, we as a generation, we know that the art.
But I'm saying, Reverend Lewis, this is not God's agenda. This is the enemy's agenda. Because, number one, what we're saying, this world is of the enemy. This natural world is not ours. It's controlled by the forces of evil. You know, the world of high, you know, entertainment industries and all that. It's controlled by the enemy. And basically, you can't attempt to understand that. Basically, there's not going to be a good end to it.
Okay. How can we offset that, the attack of the enemy? What can we do as God-fearing Christian men and women to offset that? I hear what you're saying, but that's also a kind of move.
You can put your trust in God first.
Okay.
And the Bible also tells you be in the world, but not of the world. And I know that's pretty hard. That's pretty hard for most people to do. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you, I knew a guy that he owned a liquor store. But at the same time, he told me he was a deacon in church. And he did a lot of things in church. So basically, I told him, I said, how can you basically sell this stuff to people? And at the same time, you know, it's hurting folks, it's destroying families, it's creating a disease that just basically destroys our lives, our family life, you know, because they cannot control this urge and drinking, and this product is being sold by you, and at the same time, you know what it's doing. And you know the effects that it's going to bring on the people. So basically, how can
what was the outcome on that? What happened at the end of that? Were you able to change his mind, or what happened on that?
Basically, what he told me.
I'm just curious.
He couldn't rest every day because he had also hard feelings, and deep inside, his inner man kept talking to him and telling him, man, is this right? And, man, this can't be right. You know, this can't be right. Then at the same time, God also supplied a way for him to get out of it.
All right.
He sent somebody to him that offered him an offer to buy him out. So what happened? This guy offered him a certain amount of money to buy his business, and basically he just got out of it. And say so after he did it, he said I was just relieved. It's like something inside me just came back. Said, well, I supply all your needs. God supplies all your needs, Reverend Lewis. You know, you might think you do it yourself, but God sent other people to you in order to fill this need that you're trying to do yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you shared that because, you know, we want people to know that God will work it out. That's why I would ask you what came to the conclusion of that, because it's good to know. That's what our theme of our program is about, but God will work it out. Regardless of what state you're in, if God be for you, Ricky, who could be against you, man? I love that.
I can go back to a lot of churches and ministries basically that are struggling and trying to fulfill a need to have a big building, a big church, a big cathedral somewhere. And basically sometimes some of them can't pay the light bills and pay the bills because their congregation will have low membership. And like what you said a while ago when they said that, well, you pay your tithes and then you basically you can't pay your own bills.
And that goes back to what? Not being financially savvy. And not being financially independent.
Understand what I'm saying? God,
I hear you.
Send people to you that has money. He can send millionaires from out of nowhere. He can go to them in their dreams and talk to them and tell them, "I need you to help this person across the street, down the street. Give them some of this money that you have." And all of a sudden, they'll come, man, just something got to me, man, told me to just come and donate this money to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've done it a lot of times. You know, basically,
yeah.
I don't know what it is to God, basically. If God can put money in a fish's mouth and supply your needs, what else can we do to send millionaires to ministers and people?
But tell me, what is, as you being a Christian, what is your responsibility or your take on that there, because we know that God can do those things. But as a Christian, and you in the will of God, in the presence of God, as a Christian, we are obligated to look into the needs of others and also position ourselves for to be used by God. You know, God can do anything, but if a man is sitting out there homeless and don't want to go anything, God can feed him, but he won't feed him to the extent that he should be fed on a regular basis. That man have to get up. I think so much in the Bible how people position themselves, you know. They position themselves to be blessed. We can't do anything apart from God. But if we make ourselves available for God, man, that's awesome, Ricky. That's awesome. You know, God, you know, like I said, ministry. If God knows that your ministry is up to something, you are actually involved in the lives of God people, God will touch the hearts of a rich man. You know, a lot of ministries are supported by God. They do a lot of things, but people see, hey, I see what you're doing. I'm going to bless you based on what you're doing for God's people. And that's why I said, he'll touch the heart of a rich man and say, hey, I know that you're doing this. You're trying to get backpacks for kids. So I got money, so I'm going to donate 100 backpacks. And that's what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how God would do that. You know, you sitting up there just washing your car out in the yard. Ain't no rich man going to drive up to you and say, hey, God told me to give you $100. And you just standing there. Now, God will do that. But God blesses you on your need. Know how
but you got to be,
people
you got to
hungry.
Be, what you're saying, Reverend Lewis, you got to be in position. You got to be doing godly things in order for God really to bless you. You can't be
you know, going out doing evil things and saying God going to bless you.
Yeah, and you got to
have
that God in your mind
and
spirit, too. It's a twofold thing, though, Rick. And
yeah,
I believe that God,
now the prayers of the people, the right of people, he does still remember the prayers that you basically prayed in the past. But at the same time, he's looking at your heart and looking at you and seeing how you doing every day. You know, are you really in the heart of God? Are you really trying to do the right thing? And then he'll do what he promised you to do
Then sometimes,
but you have to be in the will of God.
Let me tell you this. Sometimes God see your desire because sometimes God close the door on you or just at least just stop for a while. Let me say, he just won't move. You won't feel God's prayer. But if you you keep petitioning, keep doing the thing that's required of you, God will open the door. Sometimes our attitude hinders us from our breakthrough. You know, you say, I'm mad. I wanted this job, and God didn't give me this job, so I ain't going to do what I need to do. And see, sometimes, you know, God just say, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to bless you in spite of what's going on in your life. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times we get disappointed, we get frustrated. God, you know, oh, I was doing this, and the door had been closed on me, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And that's the time that you got to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, I'm glad you brought this up, man. That's a great discussion point here, brother. Our guest that was scheduled for this segment of the program is unavailable, evangelist Arthur Morris Hunter. So we're going to get him on here at a later date. He's going to also be one of our guests over at our workshop here. He do the art of praise. He'll talk about praise and worship for men's and because as we've been restored, bro, we go to church and sometimes we just like rocks. We just be sitting up in there, no movement, no amen, no appreciation for what God has done for us. And he's going to kind of break that.
A dead church.
Yes, sir. And he's gonna break down some of those walls, man. Some of that hardness. You know, we grew up being hard. I'm a hard man. I do prayers and ministry, brother. I go down there. These brothers are hard, man. But once you start sharing the gospel with them, man, you see that the chains are being broken, man. The walls are coming down.
And show his emotion. You know what I'm saying? Basically, when you're getting caught, man, you're not supposed to show your emotion. You're not supposed to cry. Like, I can go back and, you know, like, you say, like, tomorrow's Mother's Day, right?
Huh? Yeah, yes, it is.
And I remember one time I saw a movie about this guy was locked up, and they told him that his mom had died. And he was locked up, and he wasn't supposed to show emotion, man. And he had to go out somewhere, and basically he had to hide and hide his feelings, his emotions, that he didn't want to cry. He didn't want to show that he was weak. Man, but man, when a man loses his mom, man, I will tell you something, man, that's one of the hardest feelings that you ever go through, Reverend Lewis. Basically, I can attest to this, man. You know, I can attest to it. It's just something that, you know, you just, it's like a part of you just stripped out of you, man. Because basically, this man was talking the other day when he said, the first experience you have in life is 9 months with your mama. You and your mom have the personal experience that nobody in this world can experience because basically you are attached to your mom for 9 months. And everything she feels and you feel, you know what I'm saying, until you come out of that birth channel, and you come into this world, you know?
That is so true. That's powerful, though, Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, we got to get on out of here, man. Mother's Day is coming up here tomorrow. We want to thank God for our mothers, whether they with us or not. We thank God for they laying the foundation. We thank God for their love and their care and they cooking and they sewing and they cleaning and they correcting and they and all the things. The mother being a friend when we didn't have a friend. Mother was a counselor when we didn't know about a professional counselor. Mother was the great physician before we knew about the heavenly physician there. We all, every day went through mom. So.
You know what I'm saying? Mama kept dad out of my tail sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Mama was a lawyer.
No, dad's going to get on my tail one day. She said, Richard, girl, don't do him like that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know
so mama's a catalyst. You know what I mean? She's a catalyst. And she has a lot of strength and power because she controls a household, but then again, she don't. You know?
It has
to be reckoned with.
You know, Proverbs speaks so that the a virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, I think it is, the book of Proverbs talks about a virtuous woman. So we thank God for the virtuous women in our life. We thank God for our mother, our extended mothers, our big mamas, our play mamas, all those ladies that spoke words of encouragement, the ladies that made those sweet desserts that were just our neighbor, the ladies that just spoke words of kindness in our lives, whether they teacher, all the ladies. So we honor them this day, and our hat goes off to them, and treat our mothers with a kindness today and our extended mothers with love. And so God bless you. If your mother's already gone home to be with the Lord, just thank fond memories of her and thank God for that what he had done in your life. And then one day you'll get to see her if she's gone to be with the Father. So, Brother Daniel, we out of here, brother. We out of here. Thank you, man. The show wouldn't have never been what it is without you, and I'm looking forward to you joining me again next week. We had Dr. Michael Flemings on the line this morning. We were scheduled to have Evangelist Morris Hunter, but he's unavailable, but that's okay because things go on. Things like that happen. But looking forward to next week with another great show. We intend to have a couple more guests on for our upcoming conference, and you too is always welcome. Please call into the show, 310-982-4126, and let your voice and your opinion be heard. Brother Daniel, we're ready to get out of here. Close us out in a word of prayer, if you don't mind, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, bless us and bless our households today. Bring on the spirit of unity in our families. Help instruct the community of Dallas, Texas, America, and all around the world. Teach them that unity and strength in the family is what we need to entice in the people's hearts. Teach us to love and guide us and instruct us that we need to learn basically what Jesus said at the first commandment, that we love each other as he loved us. So in the mighty name and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You've been listening to Free on the Inside, a weekly internet program to inform you and to encourage you and to call you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We're on each and every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 with great guests. This morning you have been listening to an episode of our upcoming men's conference called God Will Work It Out. We have several guests that's going to be a part of the program that we're going to bring on next week. Myself and Brother Daniel, looking forward to you join us once again. And as always, we would like you to be encouraged, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And never, ever give up on God, and God will never, ever give up on you. You're listening to Free on the Inside.
Free on the Inside.